from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. Due to a power outage in our area, last night's broadcast was interrupted and our program cut short. So that you don't miss part two of Islam, What You Must Know, we've rescheduled the remainder of last night's program for this coming Monday night. So be sure to catch this broadcast. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
I'm reaching into the mailbag as we speak. Here's a couple of letters sent to the Christian Research Institute. They have a common theme. Here's Patricia. She writes, listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast has increased my hunger for reading the Bible and understanding the Word of God. And then Aaron writes, I enjoy the Bible Answer Man broadcast because, one, it's strong in teaching people to read God's Word for all it's worth. Two, it's big on primary doctrines, but willing to disagree on non-essentials. And three, the show stimulates me to think and then dive into the Scriptures. And of course, while you're thinking and diving into the Word of God, you might think about memorizing the Word of God. If you've never memorized the Word of God before, I'll tell you a great place to start. Psalm 139. So often when I'm going through a difficult circumstance in my life, I think about this psalm. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You know my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is even on my tongue, O Lord, you know it complete me. You hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and I fly to the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If you memorize the Word of God in the darkest, deepest hour of your life, you will have peace in the midst of the storm. We're never promised a panacea. We are promised peace. You might even picture yourself being carried through the difficult times, because that is what our Savior does. He takes the broken, the wounded, the maimed lamb, and carries that lamb as a shepherd. We're not going to escape difficult times, but we are going to experience a Savior that loves us and cares for us and will not let a single hair fall from your head in an arbitrary fashion. It's the Word of God that in the difficult times will sustain you. Memorize it today while the light is still shining, because you're going to come to that dark place in your life when you need the light of God's Word. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. Michael's up first today, listening on WFIA in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Hank. Hank, I wanted to tell you I love your ministry and you, and you've encouraged me a whole lot over the years.
Thank you, Michael.
But I got a question about my daughter. A couple years ago, my wife, who was 53 at the time, went into the hospital for a minor surgery, and she was born again Christian, and she was given an overdose at the hospital, and through that she did die. Now we understand that God's timing's always on time, and His circumstances are always where they're supposed to be. But around that same time, my daughter came down with MS. And through that, she has sustained a pretty significant amount of brain injury. She's listening to you on the radio, and she can understand everything you say. But she has a real tough time retaining any information, and she has a real hard time verbalizing. And oddly enough, it's a rare situation. Her husband now has MS, and they've got three children. So, Hank, I think what I wanted to ask you, not so much why God allows that, we kind of know that, but his maybe just some words of encouragement to her, his purposes for the rest of her life. Her life's been changed quite a bit. So some scripture and his purposes on her life and for her husband's life.
You know, I can't think, Michael, of a better scripture than what we find in Revelation chapter 21. Because there we see that there is a coming time when the old order of things will pass away and all things will become new. In other words, out of this world will come the best of all possible worlds. And John sees this incredible vision. He sees a new heaven and a new earth. He says the first heaven and first earth have passed away and there's no longer any sea. And then he sees the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. And then here's a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." And then these words, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain," or in your case, MS, or brain injury, or the death of a wife. "Because the old order of things will have passed away, behold, I make all things new." So in this world, we're going to have trouble. But take heart, he's overcome the world. We're going to have trial and tribulation. In fact, I often point out to people, Michael, that life is just one series of challenges after another. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're healthy or wealthy, you're going to have difficulty in this life. And so we ultimately look past this life to a new order of things. And the reason we can do that is because Christ bore our suffering. And we get to share in that suffering. We have an earnest of that suffering. And we can do it with joy because we know there's something else. It's coming. My mother, Michael, tells me every single time I talk to her, she just called me a few days ago, and she tells me every single time she talks to me about anything, sometime in the conversation, she says, "Oh, there's such a hole in my heart," or, "I miss Dad so much." And that pain just never goes away. But Jesus meets us in the midst of that pain and gives us a promise. And that promise is, like him, we will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We will be changed. And in that day, the sorrow will be a distant memory and our joy will be complete.
Okay, Hank. I think that does it.
Well, bless you, my friend. I will talk to my kids tonight, and we'll pray for you and certainly for your daughter as well.
Okay. Thank you, Hank. God bless you.
You got it, Michael. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jeff. He's listening on KCCV in Shawnee, Kansas. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
The reason I called, I'm a paraplegic. I had a car accident 11 years ago, and I was fortunate in this sense. I'm a born-again believer, and when the accident first occurred, and I was laying on the ground, and after I became conscious, I realized I couldn't feel my legs, but One of the things God did for me was remind me of the story of the three little Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in that, the story is this, that, you know, even though I didn't feel my legs, that, you know, I had a God, even though he wouldn't come back, I knew I had a God that was able to give them back to me at any time. And in saying that, I had a peace about it. And I still have that peace about losing the ability to walk. But here in the last couple of years, I have experienced a lot of pain in my lower body. It seems none of the doctors here understand why I'm feeling it or how. And the different medications haven't worked. And I was just curious. Well, what I really wanted to know was some of the, I caught the last half of your broadcast, and then you give the Psalms 139 is something to work on as well for me. But if you had something that you could share with me and try to understand why would God, even though I'm doing everything, I feel like I'm doing everything to please him, yet I'm still experiencing this discomfort, and I don't feel that he's hearing my prayers at this time.
Well, Jeff, he is hearing your prayers. If you are a believer, he is definitely hearing your prayers. And it would be certainly rash for me to speak to someone who is going through what you're going through. I can't experience exactly your pain. I don't know what it's like to be a paraplegic. I know one thing, that it's difficult to sleep when you have pain. And as someone has once well said, lack of sleep makes cowards of us all. So it's a difficult situation that you're going through, and I don't want to be cavalier about your situation. But I have to say that this is something I have learned over time, and that is simply God doesn't give us the reason why. He teaches us to trust him in the midst of our whys. There's a man who experienced what you have experienced and much, much more. His name is Job. And in the Bible, Job asks God the why question. And God thunders back and says, in essence, Job, you wouldn't understand. You don't understand how I create a tiny drop of dew. How are you going to understand what happens in the heavenlies?
Right.
We cannot understand the purposes of God. Maybe every now and then we can get a glimpse. And I oftentimes have looked back at tragedies in my own life and seen with 2020 hindsight how God has used that tragedy in my life so that I could minister effectively to someone that I could have never touched in any other way. So sometimes I get a glimpse of the why, at least in part. But ultimately, I can't answer that why question. But what happens in the book of Job is Job is able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, because Job has understood enough about the nature of God that he can trust God. And that's where you have to be. You have to be at a place of saying, I can trust God even when I don't understand, and know with complete certainty, Jeff, that one day you will understand. And one day, as Johnny Erickson Tada, one of my heroes of the faith who's a quadriplegic, has said, she is going to leapfrog the pearly gates. And what she's saying in humorous fashion is that she's going to have her legs again. And that is a certainty. She is going to be transformed, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. That's her hope. That's your hope. And as we look forward with hope, we can endure the hardship. And even though I can't relate to your situation, I can tell you Jesus Christ can. And I can tell you that God gives you the grace you need when you need it, and oftentimes not before, which is to say that someone thinking about your situation can't fully comprehend the grace of God in your situation like you can. And so it's, as Nancy Guthrie has well said, you will be able to hear God speak into your sorrow, but you'll be able to hear it in one way with such power when you start to internalize the Word of God in the midst of pain. And that's what Charles Haddon Spurgeon did. He said, I did never learn so much as I did upon the bed of pain. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I want you to know that I'll be praying for you tonight as well with my kids. As soon as I go home, I'm going to tell them about these phone calls, and we're going to pray specifically about you and your situation. It's a situation that I can't comprehend, but our Heavenly Father can, and we'll take it to the Lord in prayer. Thanks for calling, Jeff. I am coming up to station break. We're going to be back with many more of your calls in just a few moments. In the meantime, if you want resources that can help you hear God speak in the midst of your sorrow, we have a book by Nancy Guthrie. It's available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back.
Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the radio program and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, watching video clips, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can access all of these new media. Don't miss our special program this Monday, August 24th, when Hank Hanegraaff unpacks the Nation of Islam and Louis Farrakhan. That's this Monday on The Bible Answer Man. Don't go away. Hank returns with more of the program right after this. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple, can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Is there scientific evidence for intelligent design? Are scientists being silenced for advocating it? Those questions and more are explored in the provocative new documentary movie, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, starring actor and writer Ben Stein.
91% of Americans believe that we were created by God, yet that belief has been completely shut out of any scientific discussion of the origins of life in schools. But new science is showing astounding evidence of a designer, and that science needs to be seen and heard.
Expelled exposes the modern-day witch hunt in which scientists and teachers are persecuted for questioning the theory of evolution. Stein confronts the world's leading atheists and Darwinists and uncovers their hidden agenda to suppress the new science that points to evidence of a creator. Expelled.
Order Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, featuring Ben Stein on DVD from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. The Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers people are looking for, because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers, like Kirk Cameron.
We as parents have to be equipped, and that's the biggest tragedy, I think, in the family, is that if we don't pass on the faith to our children, and it's just essential, and that's why I appreciate your ministry, Hank. You've helped me have answers that are just ready in my tool belt, so to speak, when I'm talking to people on the streets, when I go out to share the gospel with strangers, when I'm talking with my family. I can go to the website, I can look up questions. The Bible Answer Book's got the answers. I want to encourage everybody who listens to this broadcast and supports it, and those who don't yet support it, to please get on board. And if we all pull together, we can make a massive impact.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
By the way, Kirk Cameron is the star of Fireproof. It's an incredible movie. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. So check it out. Go to the web. Again, our address on the World Wide Web, equip.org. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Derek. He's listening on the web in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Hank. I have a question that's been troubling me for a little while, and I want to know, I read in the historian Josephus' history of Jesus being a miracle worker or whatever, and I want to know, how do you know that they're not lying about Jesus being a miracle worker in the history of Jesus?
Well, I think if Josephus is lying, he'd have to be part of an incredible conspiracy, because you have Tacitus, who's writing in the annals of Imperial Rome. You have Suetonius, who's the chief secretary to Hadrian. You have Pliny the Younger. You have the Talmud. And from these kinds of sources, you can piece together the life of Christ, or at least highlights of the life of Christ, independent of the scriptures. On top of that, you have the scriptures, which are remarkable documents. They're actually penned in close proximity to the events that they chronicle, and the copies we have are relatively close to the originals. So you have these documents written by eyewitnesses, and they're willing to testify to the point of shedding their own blood. Now, if you're telling a story or making up a fib and the sword is unfurled, you might well say, I was just kidding. So I don't think that this could be some elaborate conspiracy theory. I think if you look at both the biblical sources and the extra-biblical sources, you can make a very cohesive, comprehensive conclusion that Jesus Christ not only lived but did exactly what the Bible says he did.
Okay, thank you, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to George. He's listening in San Francisco, California on KFAX. Hi, George.
Hey, how you doing today, Hank?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Hank, you know what? I've been listening to quite a few people, ministers, talk and speak on Christ's return, and I was just wanting to know, where did you feel we were in the timeline as far as Christ's return?
Well, I have no idea, and neither do they. And if they say they do, they're just making it up out of whole cloth, because the Bible simply does not tell us. We don't know when Jesus Christ is going to return. What's that?
Have those prophecies been fulfilled or being fulfilled that the Scriptures speak of?
What prophecies?
The one that speak of the generation that sees Israel coming to being, you know, that script, that's one they reference a lot.
Yeah, but that's a text out of context used as a pretext.
Okay.
And the problem is that they're not interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture. They're interpreting Scripture in light of their pet theories. And so they're not tethered to the text. They've gone off on a subjective flight of fancy. The Bible simply does not tell us when Jesus Christ is going to return. And you can't go to the Olivet Discourse to try to get the answer to that question. No one knows when Jesus Christ is going to return. And history does not go downhill or uphill. It's up and downhill. It's a series of events. There are times in which there's rebellion, and then there's times in which there are repentance on the part of the people. And we don't know within that cycle when Jesus Christ is going to return. The only thing we do know is that he will, as Hebrews says, appear a second time. And so what we have to do is not try to speculate on the timing, but be faithful within the time.
Oh, very good. Well, thanks a lot, Hank.
Hey, you got it. And anyone that tells you that they can figure out the time, run, don't walk. Harold Camping is telling people that 2011 is the time. Unfortunately, people have short memories, and they fail to remember that he also predicted 2004, when September 6, 2004 has arrived, no one else can be saved. The end has come, he said. But now he's recycled his prophecy in terms of when Jesus Christ is going to return, and all on the basis of a false reading of the biblical text. And when you see these prophecy pundits, whether it's Jack Van Impe or any other person that thinks that they can tell the signs of the times, they are fooling you. Maybe they're not doing it purposely, but they are fooling you because they are communicating something that the Bible does not communicate. If you want further information on that, I've written a book called The Apocalypse Code, which will teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joan. She's in WMCA in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Joan.
Oh, yes. Hi. I'm sorry.
That's all right. How you doing?
Yes. I'm okay. I really appreciate you taking my call, and I just started listening not too long ago to your broadcast. And I was in church yesterday, and I was speaking to a brother, and I asked him about membership, and he said he sees no reason why anyone should be a member to a church. There's no biblical reference to it. And I thought you might have the answer.
Yeah, in fact, I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, but the Bible's clear. If you go to Hebrews chapter 10, you'll see that we are told by the writer of Hebrews that we should not neglect the gathering of ourselves together, as is the custom of some.
Mm-hmm.
As far as being a member of a church, there are many other passages. Go to the book of Ephesians, which is neatly divided between doctrine and deeds. And in Ephesians chapter 3, you'll find a compelling reason to join a church. Same thing is true if you go to Acts chapter 2. But here's the point. It's in the church that we worship God. We worship him through prayer and praise and the proclamation of the word. It's in the church that we have fellowship with other believers. Remember, we're not called as Lone Ranger believers, we're called into a community of belief.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's in the church that you're equipped to go out and impact the world. So the church is the God-ordained vehicle through which we worship God, through which we have fellowship with other people, and through which we're equipped to impact the world. And by the way, what happens in church? You're baptized. And when you're baptized, you're saying, I am being baptized into a body of believers, because we are called in Scripture the body of Christ. And the body works together. If you go to Romans chapter 12, you'll find out that each part of the body is necessary. And if you're not in the church, you're eliminating a necessary part of the body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fair
I
enough?
I get it.
Okay.
And I'm going to read these different chapters in the Bible. Yeah, I believe that in membership anyway, but I just wanted to be able to articulate it to him in a proper fashion.
You got it, Joan.
Yeah, thank you. God bless you. And when I'm better off, I'll obviously donate to your ministry because I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Joan. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
And by the way, if you can support this ministry, I have the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, and I'll personalize a copy for you for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. 100% of the proceeds go to this ministry. Nobody gets anything. 100% of the proceeds go to this ministry. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, it's available through the ministry right now. For your gift of $100 or more, again, I'll personalize a copy to you or a loved one. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Cheryl. She's listening on CHRB in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
And it was an absolute pleasure to see you in Calgary.
Oh, it was great to be there.
Well, it was great to watch you and listen. Thank you. I have actually a question and a request, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure.
Hank, I work at a shelter for abused seniors. And one of the obstacles I see in clients not leaving abusive relationships, and I'm talking really bad abusive relationships, is that, do you know what, is their religious beliefs. Or they do leave, and then the church that they've gone to drops them. I'd like to know if there's any passages that supports a person leaving an abusive relationship.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any specific passage that I can point to, except to say that there's common sense involved here, which is to say that if you're in harm's way, you want to get out of harm's way. So if you're in a situation where you're in imminent danger of your life, then you want to get out of that situation. But remember, that doesn't always mean that you take the ultimate step, which a lot of people want to take, the step of divorce. Sometimes that's necessary. Sometimes you are unequally yoked and you're in a dangerous situation, and the person that you're married to doesn't want to stay in that relationship, and if that person leaves, then you're not bound according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Yeah, but what I find with most abusive relationships is that I'm saying it happens. Females can be abusive as well as males. But a lot of times the males will literally track these women. Do you know they will go after them? They won't let them leave?
Yeah. No, I think that common sense dictates that you want to be prudent, and prudence would dictate that you want to protect yourself in that kind of a situation. And I would say you're well served to pray from a distance when you're in an abusive relationship in which you can have harm. But you never want to use a pretext to get out of a relationship. God hates divorce. And oftentimes God can use you even in a bad situation to reach your spouse. So make certain that you do not get divorced for any or every reason. That's to capitulate to the ways of the world. What we want to do is be biblically based, and that is to recognize that God gives us peace in the midst of life's storms. Again, common sense would tell you not to be in a relationship where you can be in imminent physical danger yourself. We're coming to a station break. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast in just a few moments. Please don't touch that dial.
Our daily headlines, mass media, and television are loaded with Islamic names and terms like Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, and Jihad almost 8 years after the events of September 11, 2001. But what is the genesis of this type of extreme radical Islamic teaching practiced by as many as 15% of Muslims worldwide? Find out this Monday on The Bible Answer Man when Hank discusses Islam, What You Must Know. The Bible Answer Man will return right after these messages.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible, presented in dramatic audio theater, starring Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
And Stacy Keach as Paul.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Plus the voices of over 100 actors. Original music score by award-winning Italian composer Stefano Manetti. The New Testament presented and performed in over 25 hours of inspiration and devotion. The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible. Be transformed. Be enlightened. Breathe in the Word of God like never before. Hear the Bible come alive in dramatic audio theater. The Word of Promise.
Call CRI and order the Word of Promise New Testament Audio Bible today at 888-7000-CRI or on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
If the Bible Answer Man has ministered to you, you have our faithful donors to thank for that. We regularly hear about changed lives and people equipped for good works through what God is doing through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. The continued regular, prayerful, and financial support from our Bible Answer Man monthly support team, the CRI Fellowships, and the President's Council is what keeps the Bible Answer Man on the air on this station. If the program has meant something to your life, why not call us and join our team? When you partner with us, you'll also receive special benefits. To join or find out more, our ministry phone number is 888-7000-274. And of course, you're welcome to join the team online on our secure website at equip.org. And now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up, Joe, listening at WMCA in Paterson, New Jersey. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you
for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question was, recently I have a family member of mine committed suicide, and I don't think she was in her right mind when she did it, and just wanted to know if, I don't know, is she going to go to heaven or to go to a place to rest for now?
Well, first of all, my condolences, Joe.
Thank you.
Can't imagine.
I've been at my wit's end for, I can't say. I don't know what to do with myself anymore.
Let me pray for you before I answer the question. Father, I pray that you will give Joe the peace that passes all understanding. I pray, Father, as we communicate, that you will use me, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, to speak truth and love and grace and peace into Joe's life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Joe, look, the Bible does not tell us the answer to that question. We know that suicide is murder. In other words, it's taking your own life. It's taken the life of a human being. Even though it's your own life, it's still murder. And the Bible never condones murder. But you said something in the prologue to your question, and that was that your daughter was not in her right mind at the time.
That's what I truly believe, yes.
And it's certainly possible for someone at a time of despondency in their life, or a time in which they are not, quote-unquote, in their right mind, to do something unthinkable as a believer. I mean, you would never think of murdering someone in your right mind, and certainly not as a believer, because you know that life and death are the province of God, and we dare not take that province, which is a province of God alone. But we cannot categorically state on the basis of Scripture that if someone has done that, that by virtue of that, they're not going to go to heaven. And we can talk about that by precedent in the Bible, because in the Bible you have David who commits murder. And he does it in his right mind. He does it with premeditation and forethought. In fact, he sent Uriah to the battlefront with his death warrant in his own robe or tunic. So we know that God forgave David. Now, the consequences never left his home, so he lived with the consequences for the rest of his life. We know on the basis of that precedent that someone can commit murder and still be forgiven by God. And therefore, I can say on the basis of Scripture that we cannot preclude that possibility with respect to your daughter. It is certainly possible that she will be with God for all eternity. But again, I'm not saying that in a cavalier sense, because one should never, ever, as a believer or otherwise, consider taking the life of another person or their own life.
Right. I know I pray for her every day. And my other question was, in the future, whenever I come to pass, and if I do, will we know each other again? That's my question.
Well, absolutely you will know each other again. In heaven, we're not going to have less knowledge. We're going to have more knowledge. We're not going to see less clearly. We're going to see more clearly. And though you will not be related to your daughter as a father is to a daughter, you will be related, but in a way that we cannot even imagine in this life. I mean, I can't imagine not being married to my wife in eternity, but the Bible tells me that while I won't be married to her in eternity, my relationship will transcend in eternity the best days of our marriage. It will be beyond something that I can conceive of. So my relationship is going to be different, but different in the sense of better.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it, Joe, and my prayers go with you. A difficult circumstance to deal with, that certainly hard to comprehend.
You can't imagine.
Yeah. But Jesus Christ can, Joe. He walks with you in the midst of the storm.
I pray every day, and I just feel like I'm not being answered yet, you know?
Well, you are, you know, and it's not a feeling. It's an absolute certainty that we have on the basis of God's Word. And your faith is not based on your feeling, it's based on His promise. He will never leave you or forsake you, and in the deepest, darkest places, He will carry you. And I want you to go to Psalm 139 and meditate on it. Just read it and digest it and maybe even memorize it, because you will find out that there is no place that you can go outside of the love of your Savior.
Psalm 139.
Psalm 139. Digest it.
I will. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Joe. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to James. He's listening on WAVA in Virginia. Hi, James.
Hi, Frank. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
I read your book, Counterfeit Revival, and I've heard you talk a lot about the pastors and teachers of the faith movement.
Yeah.
And I recently went to the public library and got a copy of Christianity in Crisis. and I've been reading that. And I'm kind of confused about actually two passages of Scripture.
Okay.
The first one is 3 John verse 2.
Yeah.
How does that, or does it relate to sowing and reaping or tithing at all?
It does not in any way. It's a standard form of greeting in antiquity. And so John's greeting to Gaius shouldn't be taken as some kind of a universal principle. John didn't communicate it that way, and Gaius didn't take it that way. It's like me giving you a standard form of greeting.
Okay. And the second passage that I'm kind of confused about is comes out of Malachi, the 3rd chapter, where it talks about, will a man rob God? And then down at the 10th verse, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now on this. A lot of teachers say that we should test God on that. But my understanding from what I've studied when I went through Bible college is that it's wrong to even tempt the Lord. In other words, hold his word up in front of him and said, well, you said you're going to do it. Now I've been faithful and tithed to you. Now I need you to provide this for me.
Yeah, and
I
think...
Am I understanding that verse correctly?
I do think you are. I think you've got the principle down pat, because the point is, in the Word of God, we have ample evidence by which we can know God and therefore trust God, who has condescended to reveal himself to us. And because we can trust him, then we are going to lean upon the arm of God as opposed to leaning upon the arm of flesh. And there's ample evidence for that throughout the Scripture. For example, David, a man after God's own heart, committed an egregious sin because he took a census. What would incense God about a census? Well, if you read the text, you start to recognize that David was looking at the number of fighting men that he had as his source for security. And that is directly anathema to what we are to do as Christians. We are not to lean upon the arm of flesh. We are to recognize that our deliverance comes from the Lord, or as the Proverbs say, as Solomon, David's son, said, there's no wisdom or counsel or understanding against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. So ultimately, our source is not in the arm of flesh, it's in the arm of God. And therefore, when we get that down pat, we no longer have to hoard our resources, because then we recognize we can't outgive the Lord. And in that sense, tithing then becomes, as Randy Elkhorn has well said, the training wheels to giving. We can learn to give hilariously because we now realize in true experiential fashion how God provides for us. But we have to oftentimes take those baby steps to recognizing it. So it's not as though we're saying, okay, I'm going to test you, God, to see if you're really going to do what you say you're going to do. Of course he is. He's revealed himself to us in such a way that we know he will be faithful. The only question is, will we?
Okay. Well, I appreciate your ministry and your books. They've really... I've gotten to a point in my spiritual walk where I've actually questioned my pastor on a couple of things. And I've actually been prayerfully considering leaving the church that I'm in since reading these books, because it just, I don't believe they're teaching what, you know, you always talk about reading the Bible for all it's worth, and it's actually challenged me to get my concordances and my dictionaries out and start looking up the original language and seeing what it says and how it pertains to our lives. And I really appreciate your ministry very, very much. Thank you very much, and may God bless you.
God bless you, James. And of course, the book that James was talking about is Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. It's a book that I wrote not because I've got something against the Word of Faith teachers. I don't. The problem is that these teachers are prostituting the Word of God. I'm not judging their motives. I don't know why they do what they do. I only know that they do what they do. And this is not a case in which we can say, well, no harm, no foul. Quite to the contrary, these are teachings that are deadly. They're deadly in some cases spiritually, where people fall out of the back door the Word of Faith churches and the Kingdom of the Cults. Sometimes they're deadly from a physical standpoint, where a person denies the symptom that they have because they think that if they consider the symptom, then it's a lack of faith. So they're taught to deny their symptom, and as a result of that, they reap the whirlwind. There are literally thousands and thousands of people around the world that have been trapped in false teachings. The Word of God is being used as a pretext rather than a text. And if you have a teacher that is teaching you the Word of God incorrectly, like Joel Osteen saying, look, here's how you should read the Word of God. The Bible says you are to call those things that are not as though they were. And you say, well, that sounds really good. And you start to do it uncritically without recognizing that the Word of God says nothing of the sort. What he's done is he's turned the Word of God substantially from you are to call those things that are not as though they were, when the text really says it is God who calls those things that are not as though they were. Big difference. Unless you recognize the truth, you're going to fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. And there are always consequences. That's why I wrote the book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. It's available. You can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 Sierra. And do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, this voice cannot be heard around the globe. So please stand with us prayerfully and financially. Make a difference while there's yet time. God's raised this ministry up. Be a co-laborer in Christ with this one-of-a-kind ministry. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Many of us know Muslims already in our own neighborhood or workplace. And with an ever-increasing population of Muslims all over the world, we should be ready to go to them as Christ calls. In Islam, What You Must Know, Hank brings together the best articles from the Christian Research Journal on Islam to equip you to think Christianly about Muslims in order to reach them for Christ. To order CRI's exclusive brand new hardcover book on Islam, call 888-7000-274 or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple, can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.